If you've been told to pull your socks up recently, then make sure it's a pair of RCR socks. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/shop.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to the Up Your Brave show, and you're here today with Natalie Cutler-Welsh, and I am chatting with Corin Storkey. We're going to be talking about connecting to the ancestral origins of cacao and the benefits for mental and physical well-being. Welcome to the show, Corin.
Well, thank you, Natalie. So good to be here. I feel honored to be invited and to have this platform to share and connect with you and your audience today. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. I'm looking forward to it. I know a little bit about cacao, but not a lot. For those of you that may not know Corin Storkey, he is from Salino Health, which is a family business founded by Sally Huapaya. Did I say it okay?
Perfect.
And Corin Storkey, that fuses ancient plant wisdom with modern science. Sally is from Peru, a native Peruvian of Andean descent, with a bachelor in engineering and ancestral knowledge of traditional Peruvian medicinal plants, and Andean cosmovision. Working with wisdom keepers, teachers, archaeologists, historians, and farmers in Peru and Mexico, she has compiled the most comprehensive information of the ancestral journey and meaning of cacao. Her research aims to preserve the culture and traditions of this ancient plant and give a voice to the ancestors of those who have used it. Her husband, Dr. Corin Storkey, with us today, PhD in MedChem, has over 20 years of academic and research experience, specializing in understanding how plant medicines interact with the brain and body. He has previously overcome chronic fatigue syndrome and promotes an integrative and holistic approach to managing chronic health conditions. He currently leads New Zealand-based Andean Amazonian Plant Medicine Research Program that studies ancestral plants and substantiates their traditions through biochemical analysis. Well, you'd be pleased to know that I have a book by my bedside called Plant Medicine. It's something I'm very interested in. So thrilled to welcome you. I would love it, Corin, if you could start us off with a little bit more detail about your own personal journey. How did you come to this place where you're helping people with plant medicine and specifically cacao?
Yeah, it's been a really crazy wild ride. I mean, I'm a scientist by trade. I studied science. I did a PhD in MedChem, and I ended up in the deep dark world of the pharmaceutical industry as a medical liaison. So my background into this is a unique one. I struggled a lot in my life with health issues. I had chronic fatigue that you mentioned in the opening. I was on antidepressants for almost 8 years. I was living in Sydney at the time in this amazing corporate world with money and great things in my life, but yet I felt empty and really unfulfilled with everything that I had. And I, by chance, took a trip to Peru just on holiday. I met this incredible, beautiful woman who just stole my heart, stole my mind, just connected so many levels. It was amazing. And she also was in the corporate world, but she had this indigenous background that she was really reconnecting with. And she started to introduce me and treat me with her sacred plants. And, you know, maca was one of them that we work with today, and cacao was another one. And yeah, she forced me to eat a lot of interesting things and said that, you know, these...
And you did so willingly.
Yes. Well, I'm a skeptical scientist. I'm always like, what are you giving me? How does it work? What does it do? I reckon within 4 to 6 weeks of connecting and learning about her background, her indigenous culture, her plants, my life changed. Like my mood changed, my energy changed, my sleep changed. It was the first time in 8 years that I felt connected again to myself. And it was just a beginning of the most incredible transformation. I got so interested in what she was teaching me and how she was healing me that, you know, I came off antidepressants. I went back to Australia. I quit my job and moved to Peru with my suitcase, not knowing what I was going to do with my life. But I just knew that there was this call. I was called there for some reason. And this woman was helping guide me and a new direction. So yeah, I mean, fast forward 10 years later, we're a beautiful married family with a baby, another baby on the way, and here I am talking about plant medicines, which and running these kind of spiritual retreats in Peru, connecting people to cosmovision of these ancient philosophies and integrating it with science. Like, it's, I never thought I'd be here today. So there you go. That's my
It's such a fascinating journey, isn't it? Where you end up. And I wrote down, you know, from skeptical scientist to plant-based, you know, medicine and healing. And I love that we can do that. We can be on a path. And like you said, it didn't fit. It didn't feel right. You were living the corporate life, and then the universe just, you know, brings someone into your life that shifts everything. Wow. The first time, I think you said the first time in 8 years that you felt connected to yourself.
Yeah. I remember going on Prozac, and like at that point in my life, I was really not in control. It was like a roller coaster. You know, when you go on a roller coaster and you want off. You're halfway through, you're like, well, why did I get on this thing? I just want to close my eyes and I want off. That's how I felt with life. At that point, you know, I really couldn't control things. And so I was like, I just gave up and I said, I'm going to go on antidepressants. But I never truly believed in Western health for a lot of things because of my own experience with chronic fatigue. Like, Western health offered me nothing. I had at one point with suffering from chronic fatigue, I was on 11 different drugs. I was seeing six different specialists. I went through the whole system and nothing helped. And it wasn't until I started to look at alternative and integrative health did my life transform. So I remember when I went on those antidepressants, suddenly I was off the ride again. My anxiety and depression did go away. And I'm not going to lie about that. But it took away so much joy and passion and connection with it. Mm-hmm. I felt so flat and disconnected. And I struggled in relationships. I struggled with women. I struggled to connect to myself, to other people. And I've lost my spark. I wasn't me anymore. And that was the first thing I noticed. I was like, I feel me. I remember this. It's been so long, but this is me. This is my true essence. This is who I am. I feel joy again. I feel love. I feel passion. And a lot of it was, I got so into maca and cacao because it came from the plants. They awoke me to this. And then I thought, I have to get off these drugs. Because the drugs actually were just numbing me to life. So yeah, it was amazing transformation. And to go through that, now I feel for those people out there who were like me, who feel lost, who feel empty, who feel like, what am I doing with my life? Who am I? It's a tough time.
I was just thinking the same thing. There will be listeners out there listening to us now thinking either, that was me, like, oh my gosh, I remember that. Or that is me, maybe. And I love the fact that you can now look back and you can see that what was missing was that joy, that passion, that zest for life. And that's a shame if people are living like that. So I want to dive into the cacao. I really want to dive into that. But before we do that, are there some other things that you did in that process of coming off the pharma medication and that feeling of numbing yourself? In order to shift, or I guess re-remember who you are, feel like you again.
100%. I mean, one of the plants that really was amazing was called maca. And we're not really going to talk about maca today, but we run...
When you say maca, is that matcha, like that green drink, or no?
No, maca's root. It's an Andean root. So Sally's granddad used to farm this stuff. And she said, you have to take, it's the food of your brain. It's going to help with your mood and mental health. And it only grows in these high altitudes in Peru. And like, they use it as a balancer to bring balance back to the body. And that really was the beginning of the transformation, because that stuff is powerful. I'd never heard of it. I'd never tried it. And she taught me about how they prepare it and how they connect with it. And the thing for me is, like, I really saw that a huge part of healing was not just consuming the plant or consuming the tablet. It was connecting to the soil, the land, the vision, the cosmovision. These are ceremonial plants. There's ceremony associated with how they produce, harvest, and consume them. And for me, the ceremony is as integral as the plant itself. Connecting to that plant changes how that plant works within you. I became like moving from a scientist into a spiritualist with plant medicines. And I understood that we've lost that connection in the West. So when you say, what else did I do? I mean, it's not just, it's understanding the importance of the connection in the healing process. So maca was one, and then she got me onto cacao, which was another plant. But I had no idea about the depth of this. Mm-hmm. I just knew cacao was chocolate, and I knew there were some good studies to show it can do things in our body. But when you truly understand where it comes from and how it's been used by indigenous cultures, cacao is not the same plant that you eat in a Mars bar, you know, not at all. It really was a different view. So I would say that connection is the integral part of my recovery.
Mm. Well, I love that you're highlighting that, the connection versus consumption. It's not just popping a pill or smelling a plant or chewing on something. It's the connection to it. So talk to us about that. Let's talk about cacao, because like you said, a lot of us have heard of it. And I know it's become really popular, and I'm even going to say trendy, for people to do cacao ceremonies. And some people won't know what that is, so we can talk about that too. But give us the basics. Like, I'd love to start with the 101. Like, what is cacao, and how do we not so much use it? That seems that even the terminology as it doesn't feel right now after talking about connection. How can we tap into the power that it can offer to people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool. And I would start by saying, like, this plant is ancient. So cacao itself is 10 million years old. It's been growing wildly in the Amazon region of the South America for 10 million years. So it has this amazing knowledge, connection, evolution with it. Human use of cacao has been dated back to 7,500 years ago. So we're talking when they were building the pyramids of Egypt. This is ancient culture. They discovered this incredible temple in Peru that we went to. We've been twice. We went last a year and a half ago initially, and then this year. This temple is the world's first cacao temple, the oldest. And they found in this amazing temple called Monte Grande, Huaca Monte Grande in northern Peru, remnants of the world's oldest cacao. And the temple it's like 40 meters by 40 meters on top, but it goes down layers. And on the surface, they have this amazing drawing in stones and rocks of what looks like a woman giving birth. And in her womb is this giant spiral. And in the center of the spiral, they found a mummified body of a woman holding ceramics of cacao. And so my wife has worked so hard understanding these ancient origins of cacao. And like, this temple tells us so much about the plant medicine, and nobody knows anything about Monte Grande, yet it is the origin of one of the most popular foods that we consume on our entire planet. So the plant is actually a fruit, a beautiful big pods of all these bright colors, and inside of that fruit is a sweet, delicious mucilage. And in the
what
middle,
size fruit? Because I know people can't see the video, but I can see, and your hands are really so wide.
Pods can be up to 15 to 30 centimeters even. Okay. But different cacao varieties have different size. So the smallest,
like the size of someone's head.
It can be, yeah. Most pots would be, yeah. I mean, it's like a solid palm, a solid hand. But yeah, it can be up as big as your head. Amazing, incredible bright colors. And in what they use is the seed. The seed is what contains the components that we use to make chocolate. So these ancient people used it. And the story goes that this picture of this woman is this lady, this goddess from the jungle called Nukoi. So I love it because it's mythology. Like, I get so excited by this when we learn the story. And Nukoi was the one who gifted cacao to humanity, and she gave it to a woman. So it's always associated with women. She gave it to this girl called Nina. And Nina, when she consumed the cacao, had a spiritual awakening. And Nukoi in the myths was depicted as being a serpent that wrapped around the tree of cacao. And Nina was led to that tree by a jaguar in the jungle. So there's many different versions of the story, but What I love about it is I remember growing up hearing a story about a serpent, a fruit, a tree, a woman, and an awakening. But we were always told it was an apple. Well, these people believe that it was a cow that was the gift to women that caused them to have this awakening. So the story is very similar to that Adam and Eve idea of, like, you know, she took the apple, ate the apple, and suddenly was awakened to all of this information. And that was what got her kicked out of the Garden of Eden. But it's a very similar story to Nukoi and Nina. But with Nina, it was when she ate the fruit, she suddenly had awareness. She understood the medicines of the plants, the jungles, how to grow, how to cultivate, how to feed your family. And Nukoi said to her, this fruit here represents my blood. This seed is my blood, and it connects me to you, and it connects you to everyone. And so they call the cacao the blood of Nukoi. And it sits in the heart of this temple. And this is where the temple is depicting this concept of birth and rebirth. And cacao is centripetal to that. So the traditional ancient use of cacao was for spiritual rebirthing, which is what I would call in the modern day is neuroplastic change, changing our brain, becoming someone new, rebirthing ourselves. So to understand how cacao can be used today, we need to understand how it's traditionally been used. Mm-hmm. And it was used in rituals and ceremonies that were focused on transformational change, where we are moving into a new age, a new cycle, a new being. It's used with the cycles of the solstice, the moon, the sun. It's connected to all of these elements. And that is how the indigenous people saw it. It's a transitional plant used in transitional rituals alongside other plant medicines like huachuma, which is San Pedro, ayahuasca, which we all hopefully have heard of before. So they used cacao with psychedelics as well. They used other psychedelic plants. They used non-psychedelic plants. These plants they call master plants. And these master plants were used, they were gifted by the gods to awaken our spirit and connect us to a higher divinity or connect us to our ancestral past. And this temple tells us all of this information, which is incredible. And if anyone has a connection to cacao, they need to come to Monte Grande with us and learn all about the origins.
Well, I believe in divine timing, and I think it's fascinating that we're having this interview now at a time where I feel that humanity is more interested in personal transformation and awakening than, I don't know if ever before, but ever before that I've ever heard of. Have you seen a rise in interest in people, either in the concept of awakening or personal transformation, or a greater interest in cacao? Have you noticed a shift?
It's massive. And it's only going to get bigger and bigger. And the question is, why cacao? Why do we feel called to this plant? Like, what are your thoughts? Why do you think that people are called to cacao? Like, what is the connection there?
Well, there's a few things that come to mind. Partly, and this is a strange word as well, but the normalizing or the normal, like now it's become almost more, not mainstream, but more people have heard of it. And so, and more, it's therefore also more easily accessible. It's very common in the world I live in. The world I live in is the entrepreneurial, holistic health and well-being spirituality world. So a lot of my friends, like they'll do cacao ceremony or they'll have a retreat and they'll start it off with, and they'll do a cacao ceremony. So that's very common. Not a lot of people know what exactly that means or why we do it, but they might have heard of it. Whereas a lot of people still to this day will have no idea what cacao is. For me personally, anything that's hot, I love. And I don't know if you consume cacao also cold, but for me, I love the idea of even just holding in my hands, you know, and the aromatic benefits of something warm and beautiful. But I don't know the ancient history of it, which is why it's so fascinating to hear from you today. Mm. Yeah, what would you say to that same question?
I think you're spot on. I think we feel the comfort of cacao. It's nourishing, it's loving, it's comforting. And we have actually had that comfort all our lives in the form of chocolate. So it's so easy to connect with because we know it. We know it on so many different levels, and it gives us that sense of comfort. The other thing beyond that that Sally always says to me is, it's because it's awakening the feminine within us. It's awakening the nourishment, the love, the mothering, the connection to our feminine, which is in this time is what the world is being driven to, mm-hmm. connecting to our sacred feminine. And, you know, that's for men as well as women. It's not just about women. We men have our feminine side as much as we have our masculine side. So I think that's the main reason. And I feel like these plants of South America are really awakening. I mean, look at plant tourism now, like ayahuasca tourism. It's absolutely gone ballistic in South America. People are feeling called to this part of the world for transformation and for change. And cacao is an easy plant to connect with because of our history and use with it. But with regards to these cacao ceremonies, I like what you say. Yeah, we don't really know what we're doing, why we're doing it. Sometimes you go to these events and you're like, that was just a very expensive hot chocolate. Other times you go to that event and you go, wow, I really learned something new about cacao and deeply connected. And I think this is the importance in the West is when we are working with an indigenous plant medicine, which we are doing. I mean, we think we own cacao. We don't. We took it from these people and we made it into chocolate. But we have no connection to its traditions and ancestral use and its cosmovision and its intention and its purpose. So we kind of westernize it and we make these kind of integrative events where we give people a nice cup of hot chocolate and we talk about how it's going to open their heart and connect them to themselves. But I would say to truly use cacao, you really need to study the philosophies behind not just cacao, but all of the Amazonian and Indian plants. So just like if you were going to do yoga, you would go to India and you would study the fundamentals of yoga. What is prana? What is breath? How does it work? What is nirvana? What is ananda? If you're going to teach Tai Chi, you really need to know what is yin-yang theory. What are the five elements? How do they work? And we would say the same. If you want to use cacao in a spiritual way, you have to go to Peru or Central America and study Andean Amazonian cosmovision and understand the Chicana, which is their symbol, which explains a lot of this. Understand the different elements involved, how cacao is integrated and woven through those. What is the big philosophy that you would follow? And we see this a lot with ayahuasca, you know, where people go and I want to transform with ayahuasca. You're like, but are you even practicing the fundamentals behind it? Are you practicing Munai, the concept of unconditional love? Are you practicing Aini, the concept of reciprocity? Are you living these concepts before you start using the plant medicine? Or do you just want to use it to change? And this is what I learned in Peru is like, you actually have to live and understand and live the philosophies before you integrate the plants. And once you do that, then the plants have power. That's what I would say to people who feel that connection. You have to study it. You know, why don't we believe that in the West? Why do we think that we can just take it and use it in our own way? This is the cultural inappropriation that's occurring with cacao.
Well, there's so much in that. Number one, like, wow, you're a fountain of knowledge. There's a few terms in there that I wanted to jump in and get you to define. Hopefully I might loop back. Number two, it's fascinating, isn't it? Because yes, we do generally in the West want what we could call the quick fix or the quick transformation. And I also recognize in you what I see as a learner, you know, someone that really wants to dive in and feel and learn the history and know all the knowledge. And I know that not everyone will feel called to do that depth, but I love that you're inviting people to look at that and to consider it. And I haven't actually heard the term plant tourism, you know, back in the, 90s, maybe. Ecotourism, right, was very mm-hmm. popular. And I went actually to Costa Rica with my family and we went on an eco tour and things like that. But plant tourism, that is an exciting thing to hear that that's something that people are really being called to do. However people do it, you know, whether they really dive in and learn all of the things or they possibly do a cacao ritual and feel some of the benefits. What are some of the benefits for the body and the mind that people may experience having tried cacao?
Yeah. I think I'll just elaborate as well. When I talk about that idea of the deep connection, I'm referring more to people that are sharing cacao with others. Mm-hmm. So holding space with cacao. I think if you're going to if you're going to just connect with cacao in your own home, you don't need to study the philosophies to do that. And so I just want to say, like, we can all
enjoy before cacao. You drink that drink, hang on, you have to come over to Peru.
Like, we can all enjoy cacao, but what I'm referring to is people that hold space with it, and this is acting almost like a shaman or a pseudo shaman.
Yes,
like, this is where we need to really have those fundaments and understanding and be connected, because you're sharing that energy.
Mm.
And you need to really understand that energy. But if you just love cacao yourself and you want to create a ritual with cacao at home, you can totally do that. And it's an amazing thing to be able to do. Now, the benefits are that cacao is a very powerful mood enhancer, number one. So that you were saying at the start about how you love the warmth of the cacao.
Yeah.
When you talk like that, I see your eyes lighting up and your brain is doing chemistry.
I know, and I'm smiling even thinking about it, because my listeners also know that I love anything hot. It's like, I love hot yoga. I love a hot tub. I love a hot drink.
Yeah. So in that moment, your brain is actually creating more dopamine, because you're in essence, you're simulating that cacao, and that dopamine is giving you that just beautiful reward and satisfaction and love feeling that you get from cacao. Now, cacao enhances neurotransmitters like dopamine in our brain. You experience cacao before you eat it. The smell of cacao puts you into a state of consciousness where you feel love, reward, satisfaction, and that's all about dopamine, dopamine, dopamine. And then when you eat that cacao, you get this molecule called phenylethylamine, which enhances that experience more. So it's incredibly rewarding and blissful. It makes us feel really loved. We get dopamine when we're in relationships, when we're loving people, when we're connected to people. So you get a lot of that feeling. This is why we give cacao at Valentine's Day, because cacao equals love. We're giving love to someone else. We're sharing love. You also have molecules like theobromine, which open up our blood vessels, make us feel more connected to our brain. They give us clarity. They lower our blood pressure. They oxygenate our blood. They activate our muscles. They make us feel energized and vitalized. They make us feel connected. And then we have these incredible polyphenols in there that go into our liver. Now, the polyphenols in cacao, they did studies on this. A high study in 2010 showed high polyphenolic cacao can double the levels of circulating stem cells in your body. Stem cells are the fundamental cells that can regenerate your tissue. And they showed it could reverse things like methylation, can change our epigenetics, can change the way that we are in terms of our health and well-being. And a big study called the COSMOS study in 2022 was launched, showed that if you eat high polyphenolic cacao every day, you can lower your risk of a heart attack by 40% over 5 years. And for me, like, this is better than a statin study, a statin drug. So cacao is incredibly powerful at protecting and regenerating our body. It also contains plant cannabinoids, which bring us into states of euphoria and bliss more easily, bring our body back into balance from stress. It contains tryptophan, which is a precursor to serotonin. So we get higher levels of circulating serotonin. And it also contains a molecule called tryptamine, which works to bring us into states of embodiment and connect us more to ourselves and to the natural world around us. So it's just a powerhouse of brain chemicals. And this is what I've spent the last 4 years studying, is how does cacao work in our brain? And it's fascinating to see how much goes on when you consume this plant. You just get this big fuzzy feeling, but there's actually six different journeys occurring, six different receptors and six different molecules all reacting to cacao when you consume it. So incredibly amazing and beneficial for our health, mood, and mental and physical well-being.
Are there certain things we should be aware of in order to, I guess, like, maximize the potential of cacao? You just mentioned all of these incredible benefits, like, meaning, you know, eating with or without the cacao, you know, any sort of basic do's and don'ts, but things that really help the experience or not, or detract from it.
Yeah, I would say try and avoid the Western use of cacao, because when they took it from the Americas, you know, they diluted it with so much sugar and milk and other things that we lost the medicinal side of it. Most chocolate is less than 30% or 30% cacao. They also massively hybridized it. So they made it pest resistant, that monocropped it. They created plantations that could produce huge amounts of cacao. We know in our food industry that when we do this, when we hybridize and mass produce, we lose so much nutrition. So we only in Peru work with ancestral varieties of cacao that are wild grown in agroforestries. And this kind of cacao has different medicinal benefits and properties. So the first thing I would say to people to advise them is, source your cacao from these types of origins. It needs to be from Central and South America, and it needs to have an ancestral lineage or traditional use. It needs to be agroforestry, organic, all of these things, because it's way more medicinal. The second thing is, yeah, avoid sugar if possible. Avoid dairy products if possible. I feel like people struggle with consuming cacao without sugar because that's what we're used to. We're used to the decadence of it. But the reality is, if you go to the origin of cacao, we've made cacao into this lovey-dovey thing. Cacao is a dark plant medicine. It's bitter and it brings out our darkness. It confronts us with our shadows. It takes us into our traumas and our past. That's how it was traditionally used. So I encourage you to try and over time detoxify the sugar from your cacao. Slowly reduce how much sugar you put in it. Slowly move away from dairy and look at plant-based milks, and then eventually look at using just pure alkalized water. Heat your cacao. And over the space of 3 to 6 months, I want you to try pure cacao with no sweetener in the way that it was traditionally intended to be used. And I feel like that is going to be the most beneficial for your health and well-being.
Well, there you go. If you're listening to this and thinking that that's a challenge for you, maybe upping your brave is to slowly detox from adding sugar or milky stuff to your cacao. We would love to hear your thoughts, what you've learned from this interview today, possibly what shifts you're going to make. Maybe some people are listening and they think, I've never even heard of cacao, but now I want to get some. Let us know. We'd love to know your thoughts. 2057 on the text or email inbox at realitycheck.radio. Interesting about bringing out the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because just this morning, I was talking to somebody. I love plant medicine. My mode is essential oils. And I was talking about how wintergreen, yes, it's a muscle rub, but it actually also helps you to access your deep emotions. And it's very common for people, especially men, but a lot of people, to shove down their emotions and put on a happy face. And I said, you know, the wintergreen actually helps you to access and then process and release your deep emotions. Talk to us about the benefit of bringing out the darkness and how that can benefit you as a human.
I think, so like I said, traditionally cacao can help us tune in to these different worlds or these different realms within the cosmovision. And one realm they call the Ukupacha, which we give the symbol of the snake, we call the Amaru. And this is really about our ancestors' connection to those who came before us. So the Amaru has the symbol of the spiral, which is the spiral of the temple. And for me, when I see spiral, I think of DNA. This is where we hold all of our information. So I always like to put scientific ideas into this. And the DNA doesn't just hold all of our genetic information, but it holds our memories, everything that created who we are today. And sometimes you need to go into this space to detoxify so that you can move forward. So in cacao use, we call this entering into the Ukupacha and using the element of Titanina, which we call the fire element, in order to help remove that, like the snake shedding its skin, remove those old layers so we can begin the transformation into the rebirth. So all of this is how cacao is traditionally used. So you need to sometimes detoxify not just your physical body, but your emotional body. Mm-hmm. And I have done some amazing work, thanks to my wife, with cacao, where we've gone off grid and we've done electronic detox where we no phones, no internet, no social media. We've done sugar detox. We've detoxed from meat. And this is how you would prepare for these spiritual practices in the old days. You know, if you go do ayahuasca, there's a specific diet you have to go on. There's deities, there's meditations you do daily. And I've used cacao in this way, and I've fasted with just cacao. And I've had experiences where I've purged emotions. I've literally vomited trauma out in a river using cacao. And like these kinds of experiences, I never thought would be possible on a plant that's not psychedelic. But when you really tune into cacao, you can access the darkness. You can bring out your limiting beliefs. You can change those limiting beliefs. You can see your traumas. You can connect to your past and your ancestry. And cacao lets us face those. It's a dark plant. The seeds are dark. They always think it's about love and happiness, but the cacao represents the night, Mama Kia. It's the time of the night, the time of the darkness where that will be shown to us. So we can use it as a transitional plant in that way. And this is a thing, you do it as a ritual. So it's not like a psychedelic where you go and you have your experience. You create the ritual. And the ritual begins to connect you in. The more you do it, the more deeper you go to the point where you're ready to shed that skin like the Amaru does and begin the transformational process. And we teach people how to do this in our retreats in Peru. My wife is the best teacher.
I was actually just going to say, do you actually take people through this process?
Yeah. We do a 7 or 8 day spiritual rebirth with cacao, which is basically like a non-psychedelic transformational retreat in Peru. We offer with a plant medicine that some people are a lot more comfortable with than using a psychedelic. But you'd be amazed. You think, how can chocolate make someone vomit? How can chocolate give someone visions or connections or higher spiritual purpose or meaning? But we're not using chocolate, remember, we're using cacao, which is ancestral medicinal plant from the Amazon.
So powerful. I think a lot of people will definitely be learning a lot today. I've got one question for you before I move on to my Up Your Brave question. I have to ask, what is your accent?
My accent, it's weird, is it?
I cannot figure it out.
My accent is, I've lived a life of nomadic movement around the world, and it doesn't really know where its home is. It's a little bit New Zealand, a little bit Australia. It's a little bit British. It's a little bit kind of twangy.
It felt a little Irish for a moment there.
Yeah, and also twangy American, I think I picked up because I live with so many expats, and they were American expats, and I take on languages. But I don't really know where I'm born in New Zealand. I've lived a lot of my life here. So it's an eclectic mix of Frankenstein English.
So fascinating. I know some people get offended when people ask them the what is your accent question, but I get asked that myself. So I thought it was okay.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I don't mind.
If you were to truly up your brave looking forward, you know, in 2025, what would that look like to you?
I think for me, really deepening transformation where, I mean, I'm in a transitional phase in my life. I've got an 18-month-year-old baby. I'm a father now. I'm moving into we're having another baby in May. And I really feel like I'm very happy and in so many parts of my life, but I feel like I want to take my journey deeper in Peru, and I really want to do more spiritual work to connect myself more deeply to some of these fundamental concepts of cosmovision. Like I said, you know, taking up more studies, understanding the Chicana, working with Munai, something that I don't do enough of is that
unconditional love. Was that one?
Exactly. Yes. Unconditional love. I need to, you know, and you never finish. You know, I think the thing is sometimes we go, well, I've done it now. But it's like, for me, next year, my focus with the new baby is going even deeper into myself and, you know, shaking things up to make sure that there's nothing left from my past that can interfere with my direction for the future, that I'm ready for this next stage of life, that I'm ready, you know, to be the best father I can be, to be the best husband I can be, to be the best, most abundant business that we can be, all of these things. I want to go back to Peru and I want to do more work over there. That's my goal.
Sounds amazing. Congratulations on the kids and the baby on the way. Baby number two, game changer. Mm-hmm. Very exciting. Yeah. That's so good. What is coming up? Well, obviously you're going to go back to Peru, but in the coming months and possibly the rest of the year, what is coming up for you and how can people connect if they want to find out about these plant tours that you do? I don't even know if you sell cacao. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, we've got so much, you know, we're a family business, but we are really about connecting people to ancestry, to origin, to knowledge. So we are super excited. Early 2025, we're going to be launching the Cacao Academy, which is basically at the moment we have this amazing online course, but we decided that we needed more levels for people. You know, so not everyone is ready to jump right in. Like, we need somewhere to introduce people. Maybe people just want to do cacao, you know, take cacao occasionally. So we're going to have these new levels brought in. So that's something to look out for on our website, the Cacao Academy. At the moment, we have an online course if people want to sign up and connect with that. We've got our retreats in Peru in October 2025. So you can come and join us in the Andes or join us in the Amazon and work with either Andean plant medicines or Amazonian. So if you're feeling called for an adventure, definitely put that in your diary. We'll be launching those dates and all the information. We have a pre-sign-up sheet at the moment, but all the info will be launched early 2025. And just continuing to work with cacao. We just launched a new product called Macumbo. So we sell cacao from two amazing ancestral farms in Peru. Macumbo is the closest relative to cacao. It is a plant they call masculine cacao, white beans versus the dark beans. So it represents the day, Taitainti. And so we just launched that, but we're also really about preserving ancestral varieties, cacao, unique varieties. So the other thing we're doing is fundraising for the Monte Grande Temple. So they need our help to excavate this, and we need to get behind and support this because this is the most important archaeological find in recent Peruvian history.
Oh, I am fascinated by archaeology and true history.
Yeah. So we need people to get behind that. So we've got a lot. But if they go to our website, they can see all of this up there. We've got a Save Monte Grande tab. We've got Cacao Retreat tab. We've got a webinar tab. We've got Cacao Training tab. So they can connect and understand what all our offerings are. But it's not just about product. It's a comprehensive, holistic way of working with cacao.
Fascinating. When you talked about those lighter beans, is that about the light versus the dark, or is it not so much?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because masculine cacao or Macumbo is actually soft and light and fluffy and not bitter. Tastes nice. It's creamy and rich.
Oh, sign me up. I want some of that.
It represents the day and it's a mood enhancer and it's amazing for our gut and our brain. But whereas the actual cacao is bitter and dark and, you know, like, so it's beautiful. Like, Sally is about preserving these concepts because this is how the plant medicines have been used. So part of her project to bring Macumbo to the world was about, let's, you know, go back to the origin and preserve these ancestral ancient varieties, because at the moment with deforestation and monocropping and all the stuff happening in the Amazon, we may lose these plants forever. We may lose this biodiversity. We may lose the access to even have medicinal cacao. We may only be fed monocropped, mass-produced cacao. Yeah. So let's preserve and protect that while we can.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for sharing with us today all about, well, the power of plants and specifically about connecting to the ancestral origins of cacao. Before we go, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today?
No, I mean, I just really want you guys to connect with cacao, to try cacao if you've never tried it, to try different varieties. We have an amazing cacao we launched called Amaru, which is very energizing, uplifting, and awakening for your physical body and being. And then we have another one called Uturunku, which is a calming, embodied, connective, and mindful cacao. So I encourage you, if you've never tried cacao or you know cacao and you want to try our two different varieties and use them in different practices, connect with it daily, create your own rituals, take time for yourself, nourish yourself. This is cacao's message to you, is it's about loving yourself, connecting with yourself. So make time to do that and enjoy and connect with it. And listen to it, because it can tell you so much about what you can do looking at your past and also your future direction. So if you feel that call, please reach out, get in touch, connect with us on social media, follow us. Also, you know, check out our website. Come to one of our workshops. We run workshops all year round. You can see it on our Facebook event page. Go to the festivals over summer. We'll be at Shiva Shakti, NZ Spirit, Earth Beat. We create a cacao zone. Join us in the zone. My wife will be doing traditional demonstrations, teaching people about how to connect with cacao. So yeah, we'd love to see you at one of those events or in Peru.
Amazing. Thank you so much for joining us today, Corin.
Cool. Thank you so much, Natalie. I really appreciate it.
And thank you so much, everybody. And I've got a little invitation for you. If you're listening to this and you want to spread the word or want to help spread the word about cacao, or you've got somebody specific to share it with, maybe they're doing their own cacao ceremonies and they might want to learn more on a deeper level, please go ahead and share the replay link. You can do that on the socials or just private message it to a friend. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. Do you like what you're listening to or dislike what you're listening to? Either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057. That's 2057. Or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We'd love to hear from you, so connect with us today.